host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like a tub of hot fudge when you ordered the butterscotch, baby. Welcome to the most listened radio program in the galaxy, baby, when you are talking mindset, attitude, positivity, everything you want, everything you need to help you get successful and get you to the next level, whether that's to smash a goal, catch a dream, start dreaming again, or just get your feet on the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Mark Hayford. This is 1520 WCHE, and you are listening to the Get Up Power Hour. That's what we do. Every Thursday, we go drinking out of the fire hose right here, coming live out of Westchester, Pennsylvania. I don't know if you're listening on live radio. I don't know if you're live streaming on 1520WCHE.com. I don't know if you're live streaming from MarkHayford.com. But Get Up Army, I salute you. This is the greatest day of your life. Hey, the next best decision starts right now, and you just made it by coming on here. You are listening to the only, I'm going to say that again, in all caps, blocks, italicized, and underlined, the only self-help and personal growth radio program in the Philadelphia market. I'm going to say that again. This is the show. You want sports? You can find your sports. You want news? You can't get away from the news. You can get anything you want. But when it comes to self-help and personal growth, bam! Stops right here. This is the show. This is what we do. And we do it with no apologies every single Thursday. We drop it like it's hot because you know it is. Hey! All right, check this out. I'm so hyped, yo. We got so much to talk about and get in this hour. I got a rock star guest. I want to do the back end of the show. I want to talk about one of my personal musical heroes, Eddie Van Halen, and give a tribute about what we've learned from his life. The first part here, what do? We lift each other up, right? We talk success. We talk mindset. We talk attitude. We talk positivity. And we talk life hacks. And in a second, I want to get into a great life hack that I think is really going to help you slay the dragon, fix a bad habit, readjust. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, before we get into all that jibber-jabber-jive turkey talk, what I need you to do is connect with me. Come on, you're on social media. You got your phone in your hand right now. I'm sitting here looking at the board worker, Bree, the Duchess of Danger, the perennial millennial. She's on her phone because she's taking selfies here at the Get Up Power Hour, right? You got your phone in your hand, so use it for something good. Let's connect on all your social media, LinkedIn, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, Twitter. I tweet like 7 people. Care, maybe. I think one's my mom, but it's all good. So let's connect out there. Let's use social media for something good and something positive. All right. All right. Now, I also want you to go check out MarkHayford.com because out there we got videos, we got links, we got interviews, we got radio shows, and we have 3 number one books. All 3 of my books, you can get them on Amazon.com or you can get them on MarkHayford.com. Each one of these bad boys hit number one in the Amazon self-help chart. That's Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life, 365 Days of Encouraging You to Attack Life. And there is the hot new release from this summer. And I say it's hot new release because it went top 10 in self-help, went top 10 in NLP or neuro-linguistic programming. It's a real fancy way of just saying this is how your brain works. And it went number one in sports psychology. How dope is that, man? That's sick, right? So that's Light Up the Darkness. And you can get Light Up the Darkness right now on Amazon, on MarkHayford.com. And come November, just like Get Up, you'll get Light Up the Darkness on Audible. Woo! I'm sweating, Bree. This is great. I'm in it. I love it. Hey, every Thursday, we bring you the best programming. This is about lighting up your darkness. This is about helping you get up. Look, we all fall down, but you got to get back up, right? And by listening to a program like this, by investing in yourself, by being your own best advocate, you're on the right track of doing that. Man. So, like I said, we got so much to talk about this week. This weekend coming up, I'm excited. I have something very cool that's going on. I am actually, now, what I'm about to say, I don't know if it's shocking, but it's interesting, okay? I am asked to be the head judge of the Miss Pennsylvania Invitational. It's fashion, it's runway, it's a pageant. Now, I am a former professional wrestling ref with the WWE. I am a veteran of the armed forces, and I'm a head football coach. So that's kind of weird to ask me to be the head judge, but it's not. because I've done it before. And this is a special one because my daughter, who's modeled everywhere, we get to do it together. She is a side judge or some type of a judge. I forget what type of judge, but she's going to do it. We're going to go together. It's going to be a fun dad-daughter weekend. And yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that. But before I tell you who my guest is, which is going to be coming on, this guest is going to be coming on right after the break. I'm going to get into that in a second. Before I get to the guest, I want to talk about a life hack, a mind hack, okay? And this is something that I put all over the social media and I talked about that we're going to talk about it today. It's the 20-second rule. Now, I'm not talking about the 5-second rule, which Mel Robbins made very popular. It broke the internet a couple years ago. That's when you go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, and like Nike, just do it. You don't give your feelings or emotions a say. You just go do it. That's not what this is. Matter of fact, it's kind of the opposite. And it's pretty interesting because what we're doing here is we're going to use our laziness to our advantage with the 20-second rule. Hayford lost his mind, right? What are you talking about? Okay, here's what I'm talking about. First of all, let's just get on the table here, okay? I'm all about motivation. I'm all about discipline. As a matter of fact, in my latest book, I dedicate 2 entire chapters. Well, I call them keys because I believe they're keys to success, but I take 2 entire keys. One, I talk about motivation, and one, I talk about discipline. I believe they're both, I don't believe one's better than the other. I believe they're, it's like salt and pepper. They're equal. And when you use them together, you can be really powerful. But let's just be honest here. And let's talk about how pretty much as human beings, it's very easy universally to be lazy. We're all lazy to some extent, right? When you turn it off, you're turned off. I mean, this is biblical. Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Right? Don't be lazy. Get up, go to work, do stuff. But man, sometimes we just, it's easy to check out, right? We got these, our phones, these supercomputers, which we just talked about that are right in our reach here. They've become anti-focus devices for us. It's really infuriating if you think about it, how we've become so complacent. So we can either cry about it, we can whine about it, or we can use it to our advantage. So how do we do that? Well, we all have habits. We all got habits, right? There's good habits. There's bad habits, right? Your habits are kind of like getting a new phone, okay? You get a phone, brand new, right out of the box, and all the settings, they're preset, right? They're preset. You got preset wallpaper. You got default ringtone. Okay, and it stays that way unless you change it. It's the same with your habit. We got to change the habit. Okay, so with this, we're gonna implement this 20-second rule. Okay, we have default behaviors. What we want to do is we want to be more intentional. We want to have more intentional behaviors and default behaviors, and we want to be aware of our default behaviors and be in control of them instead of them being in control of us. So, example, I'm personal growth junkie, love to read. Book I read recently, The Happiness Advantage by Sean Aker. It's like anchor, but there's no end. So Sean Aker, The Happiness Advantage. And what he talked about in the book is all he wanted to do was 2 things. He wanted to A, practice his guitar more, because he was into guitar, and B, he wanted to spend less time watching television. But here was the problem. He's lazy, okay? And his guitar is in the next room, in a closet, in the guitar case. So that would require the 20 seconds where he has to get up, walk in the next room, open the closet door, rummage through the closet, get the guitar case, open the guitar, and then go play. And as silly as that seems, it prevented him from playing his guitar, and he would just sit there when he got home from work and watch TV. Same thing like going to the gym. Maybe you go to the gym. Maybe you're one of these go-hards on January 1st and 2nd, right? And now it's March 3rd, and you know you're sitting on the couch eating a muffin. Well, that's because you got to find your gym shoes, and you got to get dressed, and you got to get the car keys, and you got to drive there, and then you got to use the key fob and go in. It's all these steps, right? These steps that you got to do to get to do what you want to do. So what this guy decided to do was he was going to use this laziness to his advantage. So first step was he wound up taking his guitar. Okay, he picked up his guitar one day, and he put his guitar out of the closet, out of the case, in a guitar stand right next to the chair where he would sit and watch TV. And the second thing he did was he wound up taking the batteries out of his remote control, and he put them in the closet drawer in his bedroom. So basically, what he's doing is over time, he'd come home from work, he'd sit in his chair, he'd grab his remote and be, oh, that's right, I removed the batteries. Well, all right, I guess I'll reach over here, grab the guitar, and play the guitar. And inadvertently, what started happening was he started using less TV time and more guitar time. I mean, he basically made playing the guitar, took those 20 seconds and made those 20 seconds easier, and watching TV, he made those 20 seconds harder. So it's the same thing, man. It's like this lesson, basically, it's what you want to do is you want to take these activities that you don't want to do, whether it's quit smoking or eating junk food or whatever, and you want to create barriers. So, like, you know, if you're smoking, maybe you have a pack of cigarettes or whatever it is, and but you don't have it readily available, right? You want to be able to minimize obstacles for activities that you want to do. Okay, so just about setting yourself up for success. Someone in my house bought cookies last week, and they put the cookies on the counter. I found myself eating cookies. I don't eat cookies. I don't even like sweets, but they're right there, so I just grab one. Now, if the cookies were gone and it was a bowl of grapes, I'd be eating the grapes. And I've done this experiment. I've put a bowl of grapes out. I put it right on the counter. They're gone in like a day. If I put the grapes in the other room in a bowl in the dining room, they sit there. And you get the little fruit flies. Because it's like going into the dining room and intentionally getting grapes versus setting yourself up for success. The Duchess of Danger herself, Bree and I were talking about this last week. She told me a little hack that she did because too many times we grab our phones, we just scroll through social media. She told me what she does is, and I thought this was genius, she winds up logging out of her social media. So now she has to log into her phone and log into her social media. She cut down 50% of her time scrolling and just doing stuff. That's what we want to do. We want to set ourselves up for success. So if you feel that you need to either start a good habit, then put yourself in a successful position, have those things readily available so you can start making it a habit. And for those things that you want to quit, start creating barriers or more steps that you have to go through. Basically, make the desired actions easy, the undesired actions hard, friends. It only takes 20 seconds, and it could be more, it could be less, but that's the whole ideology around that. And I hope that little mind hack is going to help you today so you can either extinguish or light it up when you're trying to do something awesome. Now, I'm up against first break, so I'm going to peace out, Cub Scout, real quick. I don't want you going anywhere because the guy that I have is my guest, and you know how we do it, Get Up Army. I don't just ask anybody coming on here. I am the gatekeeper when it comes to the mindset, the positivity, the attitude, and I want to make sure that I'm serving up the best for you guys, and I'm bringing on people who are going to affect you in a positive way. Now, I'm a head football coach, and the guy who is coming on is the principal of the school that I'm the head football coach at. This is Lionville Middle School principal Jonathan Ross. This guy is going to become the new president of the Pennsylvania Principals Association, the PPA. He's the president-elect right now. He's got almost 30 years in education, almost 20 years as a principal. How about this? His first month as a principal was during September 11th, 2001. Whoa! This guy's seen a lot. He's been through a lot, and we're going to pick his mind. I want to see some nuggets. I want to see what his thoughts are on staying positive in these times of crisis and adversity. I want to know. He always says it's good to have problems. I want to know why he thinks it's good to have problems. I want to ask him why he was wiping down tables in the cafeteria when he's the principal. We got stuff to talk about, Get Up Army. Don't you go anywhere because we're going to be right back, Jack. This is 1520 WCHE and the Get Up Power Hour. Yeah, I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like a pack of wolves when you got a pork chop hanging around your neck. Say what? The most must-listen radio program in the Philadelphia area when you're talking mindset, attitude, positivity. We got it, baby. This is the Get Up Power Hour. Hey, welcome back. I cannot wait to unleash, ladies and gentlemen, my next guest onto the airwaves and into the galaxy here. This man that I'm bringing on here has almost 30 years in education, almost 20 years as a principal. He's seen it. He's been there, done that, bought all the T-shirt and gave it away to all his fans. He is the president-elect of the Pennsylvania Principals Association. This is the head principal of Lionville Middle School. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Mr. Jonathan Ross!
Yeah. Mark Hayford, my brother. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Mr. Ross? How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there, buddy. Hanging in there.
Yeah. Hey, I'm happy to get you on the program. I know that there's 50 million things that go on at a junior high / elementary school. So first off, just want to say thanks for making the time here to talk to the Get Up Army, because I think you're gonna drop lots of value in the program today.
I'll do my best to live up to the hype, buddy.
Yeah, but it's not hype. It's real deal. So first of all, I want to just make sure I got my stats right here. So you are the president-elect of the PPA. So I guess at the end of this month or the beginning of next month, you will be the new president of the Pennsylvania Principals Association. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we have an annual conference usually somewhere in the state where you get a bunch of principals together. I know it sounds like a good time, but we rock it out. We have fun. A lot of great people that are leading schools all across the Commonwealth. And this year the conference is virtual. We can't do it in person, so they're offering a free virtual conference to principals who are members of our association. And that's where they kind of do the turning over the gavel from the gentleman who's president now over to me as the president-elect. So by the end of this month, yeah, it'll be official.
Wow, congratulations. What an accomplishment. And let's go there for a second, talking about everything virtual. I mean, listen, you, your entire staff, the ladies in the front office, the teachers, everybody had to learn and learn on the fly, not just to do their jobs, but to do their jobs as well as they've been doing them totally differently in this new virtual world that we're serving up here. What has that been like, that whole challenge?
Well, I'm sure you can imagine. It's a little bit of baptism by fire. I mean, we had a dry run in the spring, right? I mean, everything got shut down on March 13th, and I, like a bunch of other people, was thinking, we'll be back. It'll be, this thing will blow over. We'll be back in a couple weeks. We'll be back in a month. It'll be nice. We'll get a nice long spring break, and we'll just make up days at the end of the school year or whatever. And then everybody knows things didn't go that way, right? So we had to adapt. We had to improvise, had to overcome, put our heads together. Thankfully, we just have some just incredible, amazing people that work in this school that were able to put together. With bubble gum and Band-Aids and duct tape, kind of put the boat together and sailed it out for the remainder of the year. It didn't go smoothly, and there was definitely some things that happened along the way that maybe we learned from. And I think we were able to apply that in getting started virtually this school year and kind of hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's this quote I love. It says, ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets in them. Don't let what's happening around you get inside right. You and weigh you down. And it sounds like your ship's still sailing here. So, okay, let me there's so many things I want to talk to you about, and we don't have a heck of a lot of time here. But first of all, you've been through it. Right. I mean, you've seen different times of just these tumultuous situations and horrific situations. I mean, is it true? Because this is what I have here in my little birdie annotated note stats here, that your first month of being a principal was during 9/11.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And actually, in the district I worked in at the time, they didn't start until after Labor Day. So 9/11 was the Tuesday of our second week of school.
Oof!
My first week on the job as principal of the school. So
welcome to the party.
Yeah, that was quite an experience, and one that obviously the beyond the ramifications nationally and globally, but for us locally, certainly helped me to learn and grow and figure out how to respond in a crisis situation. When we had parents showing up at the door wanting to pick up their kids. I actually had a teacher on my staff at the time who had a son who worked in the World Trade Center. Oh. And, this is the early age of cell phones, right? So it wasn't real easy for her to get in touch with him. And, I pulled her out of class for the day and kind of gave her coverage. So she she could focus on trying to be in, because she's not going to do anything in class, right? Somebody thinks their kid is in the World Trade Center on 9/11, she's not going to be of much use to me in the classroom. So kind of relieved her of her duties for the day and let her focus on her family. Thankfully, her son that morning had a meeting in another building, and when she eventually got a hold of him, he wasn't even anywhere near downtown. He was uptown in a meeting somewhere else. But there was a lot to handle that day for everybody. You know, I didn't have the market cornered on difficult situation, but just as a new leader, it was certainly something that taught me a whole lot.
Well, that right there is baptism by fire. I mean, after that, it's got to be easy sledding. I mean, welcome to your first 2 weeks as a principal, and you got to deal with a national crisis like that.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it prepared me for pretty much everything I've done from September 11, 2001 up until March 13, 2020.
I mean, there you go.
There wasn't a whole lot that I encountered that I wasn't ready for up until March 13th of this year.
Well, that's the whole, from the book Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy. He talks about, you know, you wake up in the morning, eat a live frog, everything else the rest of the day is going to be easy peasy, right? So, I mean, well, how about this? You were in education. Were you a principal during Columbine?
No, I was an assistant principal in Columbine. When Columbine right. happened in 1999, I was an assistant principal. I was a new father, I kind of had that going on as well at the time. But that was a gigantic shift in the way things were done for sure, and had ripple effects for ages to come after that. Yeah,
I mean, you got the. If this was a military school, you would have a bunch of badges on your chest here and medals, because this is insane. Some of the things that you've had to deal with in the past quarter of a century, I guess. So let me ask you this, because this show is about mindset, attitude, positivity.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said it before, I wrote about it. I think a lot of people get positivity wrong. I think a lot of people think positivity is puppies and rainbows and glitter and cupcakes and unicorns, and that's not what it is. Positivity is being strong enough to walk through the fire and to keep your head up and to lead others and to help others and to expect things that are going to get better, because those two things you can't see. It's faith or fear. You got to buy into one of them, and they don't exist in the same place. So in a leadership position like you are, going through some of the things that you've been going through and dealing with what you're dealing with right now, you know, how do you stay positive like this in a time of crisis, in a time of where the wheels are coming off and it's going sideways? How do you keep it together and establish this culture where everybody else can as well?
Well, I'd first point to my mentor, the gentleman who hired me as a teacher. He then hired me as an assistant principal, promoted me to an assistant principal, and then he was my superintendent when I was a principal. His name's Joe Galley, former superintendent, Upper Darby School District, principal at Drexel Hill Middle School. And Joe, one of the first lessons he taught me as a leader is the notion of positivity when it comes to projecting calmness. Right? It's going to be false positivity if people don't see first that you're calm about it. So when you have a situation that's happening, if you're lighting your hair on fire, you know, there's the phrase that, you know, if a leader sneezes, the whole group catches a cold, right?
Right.
So if your mentality is that you're going to freak out, then everybody's going to freak out. So he used to say all the time, we're like a duck. You're calm on the surface, but you're paddling like crazy under the surface. So, you know, he taught me that early on, and that was something I plugged into, when 9/11 happened, and it's something I still use to this day. There's also the notion, again, that he taught me, but I've kind of expanded upon over my years, and that's I approach everything from a servant leadership mindset.
And
that I don't view myself as the leader in that, you know, I know all, I know what's best, you have to follow me. I view my role as a leader in serving the people that I work with, whether it's the teachers, the kids, the families in our community, and by showing them that I'm here to help and I'm here to serve them. And I think when you have a crisis occur, like what we're going through right now, and people know that you're approachable and that you're somebody who wants to help, that helps bring problems to a conclusion. That helps, put some of those fears and worries to rest that people have.
Wow, that's great info. I mean, for the current leaders, for people that are aspiring to be leaders, and that's just not being a principal. That's being a leader, and that's so different than being a boss. And
right.
I do want to get into this. John, we're up
yeah.
against the break really quick. If you got a few more moments to hang with us, I just want to pay the bills
Absolutely.
Here at CHE. Okay, because I want to talk about servant leadership, because I've seen you do something, and I want to ask you about this, and it falls right in the lines of that here. So don't go anywhere, and Get Up Army, you guys don't go anywhere, because we're just getting hot right now on 1520 WCHE. We're going to be back in 60 seconds right here with the Get Up Power Hour. Stop, won't stop. We're back, baby, just like Carson Wentz stumbling out of a collapsed pocket. Welcome to the greatest must-listen show on all the airwaves when you're talking mindset, attitude, positivity. This is the Get Up Power Hour. You are the Get Up Army, and we have rock star principal Jonathan Ross on the phone with us today. Mr. Ross, how you hanging in there?
Oh, I'm better now, buddy, now that I'm talking to you. Well, I'm ready to go now, man. You got me charged up after my post-lunch doldrums.
That's what we do. That's what we do. I'll tell you, my phone's blowing up, too. People are saying great interview, great content, great guest. So you're really serving the community here with a lot of this knowledge that you're dropping on us. So we ended and took a quick pause there talking about servant leadership. You mentioned that term. Now, I've actually seen you wiping down tables in the cafeteria. And I'm going to tell you something. I was in the military, and when I was in the Air Force, I've actually seen a colonel come in and be hands-on rolling aircraft tires in the warehouse. And that guy had mad respect from the troops just because he wasn't too good to not do that, and he didn't have to do that. Now, I am a former, I'll say the bouncer, but I'll say the playground monitor of Springton Manor Elementary School years ago when my kids were younger. And I would help out in the classroom. I would help out in the cafeteria, and I would wipe down tables. There's nothing wrong with wiping down tables. It's not a menial job. It needs to be done. And, you know, there's people that are hired specifically for that. But that's not your job. But I've seen you wiping down tables. Talk about that. Why? What's the point?
Well, I'd say there's probably two reasons, and you know, I've not to list my resume, right? But I've wiped down tables, I've shoveled sidewalks, I've mopped floors, I've you know taught classes to cover for teachers. I mean, it's you have to take care of business, right? I mean, if not me, then who?
But you have people to do that.
Am I going to stand there and wait for someone else to take care of it, or am I just going to get it done?
I'm baffled here because, again, there's bosses and there's leaders. And you hire people to do these things, but you don't have a problem rolling your sleeves up and doing that. What is that?
Well, you know, it'd be one thing if my custodian was sitting on his butt with his sleeves rolled up eating bonbons. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a busy man, too.
We've seen him.
Things all over the building that need to get taken care of. And if he's preoccupied with something else, or if we've got snow on the ground, like the times I've helped shovel snow, and the guys are all here and they're breaking their backs getting snow out of the way, and I know our kids are going to be here soon, the snow's got to get out of the way, man. Somebody's got to do it. You can stand here and complain, right? You can stand here and say, oh, I wish the district would hire more people, or you know what I mean? Or you can go out and just take care of it and get it done. If you have the ability to do it, you do it. And then there's the other aspect, which I would say, you know, I do think of as well, in that it's good for people to see that people that you're leading to see that there's no job that's quote-unquote beneath you, because you want them thinking the same way. I want my teachers, you know, being willing to pick up a mop if they see it needs to be done, or to wipe down a table if they see it needs to be done, rather than anybody. Nobody can think that there's, you know, something that's beneath us if you're in it for the right reason. And the right reason is we want to provide our kids with a Class A environment, with a learning community, a place where they feel safe, a place where they feel desired. And you're not going to get that if you have this mentality where everybody's just focused on what their job is and nothing else.
Well, the greatest leaders serve the most people, and that's attitude right there. It's a great attitude to have. So I love hearing about that. But I want to ask you another question here. You've gone on record as saying that it's good to have problems.
And oh yeah, Jocko Willink.
What is that comes from Jocko, but you've really, you know, embraced that mentality. What is that about? Talk about why is it good to have problems? Because most people don't want any problems, and you're saying it's a good thing.
Well, and there's an old phrase, right? The day that people stop bringing you problems is the day you stop leading them. If people do not feel comfortable to approach you, if people do not feel you're capable of solving a problem, or if people feel that you're not interested in solving a problem, they're not going to bring it to you, and then the problem's not going to get fixed. So there's that aspect of it, again, that you want people to know that you are here to make their life easier. You are here to put out the fire that allows them to do their job. So it's good that people are bringing me problems, because that means people aren't suffering in silence. I can't tell you how many times I've taken a phone call or gotten an email from a parent where they start by saying, you know, oh, I hate to bother you, but we've been dealing with this for a couple of weeks now. And I jump right on that. I'm like, hey, wait, like, don't wait a couple of weeks to call me. If there's something that's going on that's bothering you, if your kid comes home, you know, I believe as parents we have instinct. We have this parental instinct. We know our kid better than anybody. And something comes, my kid comes home and there's something off, something not right, and I've tried to get through to my kid and just not getting anywhere. Don't just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, well, I guess we'll bring it out eventually. No. Reach out to somebody. Reach out to a teacher. Hey, have you noticed something different? Reach out to a principal. Hey, this has been going on. You know, I've noticed this happening. Can you find out information for me? That's my job. That's job security, right? The day there's no longer problems here, they're not going to need a principal anymore. They're just going to be able to run the building with teachers.
I mean, if there was a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Jonathan Ross, the principal, dissolves it. That's what I'm talking about. Let me ask you this, though. So, okay, that makes total sense. Right now, we've shaped as an entire planet on what's happening and how we're dealing with. What is something that you're seeing in the community of the school, that between the teachers, from letters from the parents, emails from the parents, the kids? What type of problems are you encountering now, and what are some action steps that you're taking to implement, you know, just to make things run smoother?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, not to bring the mood down, but, you know, with everything that's going on right now, I mean, we already, in my opinion, prior to March 13th, 2020, we already have a crisis on our hands in this country. And that's the mental health of our adolescent children, pre-adolescent through adolescent children. The mental health is a huge thing, and very, very important to me. To make sure that we're doing everything we can as a school to address those issues with our kids. Now you add kids being in a virtual environment. Nobody's fault, right? We got to shut things down. It was universally agreed upon in the spring that, you know, we had to shut things down. I know there's been some arguments about whether or not we should have opened up at the start of the year, but let's just look at the spring where you have kids who are having these issues, and now you're locking them in a room by themselves all day on a laptop. I shudder. That's what I lay awake staring at the ceiling and I thinking about those kids, right? So we have to do things as a school to be proactive, to reach out to those families, to those kids, to let them know that we are here. And that's right. I gave you a shirt the other day, right? On the back it says, "We are here." That's our theme for this year. We want to make sure that our kids and our families know that even though school is closed, we're not closed. We're still here. We're here to help. We're here to do things to make you feel connected to your school so that when you do come back here in the near future, you already feel a part of the school community. We started an advisory this year where every, you know, couple of days there's time set aside for teachers to meet with smaller groups of kids to build those connections, to talk about everything from schoolwork to Carson Wentz getting crushed in the pocket, to leadership items, to, you know, current events, like just trying to build those connections so that kids know that there's somebody here that cares about them and that they're valued and their opinion matters.
Well, mental wellness is not just a hot topic. It's a big topic of this program. We're always trying to just work for the betterment of keeping people on track, having some hope, having some faith, having people having them be able to look forward to something and just to know that this whole thing is a marathon. It's not a sprint, you know, and you're absolutely in control, whether it's going to be a good day or not a bad day. Something I talked about with our football players just the other day. It's, you know, you don't have bad days. You have bad moments in those days, and you're actually in control of those choices and those emotions to say, my good day is going to start now. My good moments are going to start now. Or you can let your emotions take control of you. So I think that's a big component of what you're talking about. And I think what you're doing in the school and what the other leaders in the school are doing is so paramount for just the students, the community, for the parents. They're so thankful that there are things that the kids can get out and do now. And that's crucial. So,
and what's the thing that we know for sure about positivity? It spreads, right?
It absolutely
spreads. It's contagious, like, just like COVID. Even more than COVID, it's contagious. So if we have a genuine, and it's got to be genuine, because kids see through BS, right? Kids will see right through baloney. Mm-hmm. They know if you're not genuinely positive or if you don't genuinely care about them. That's what's so awesome about working with middle school kids in particular, is that they can see it. They can tell. And when they know that you genuinely care and that you genuinely, you know, have a positive outlook, they get a positive outlook and they start to care and they start to realize that that's the way you're supposed to be. We're supposed to care about one another and lift one another up and do things to help one another get through this thing we call life.
Boom! That's right there, exclamation point. That's what we do here in the Get Up Power Hour. I love this. I love it. Bree, I love it when we have a good guest. You know what I'm saying? Okay. This one's great. Okay. Now, I have to ask you this, because we're coming up against a break in a few minutes, Mr. Ross. This whole year's been crazy. You guys have been doing an amazing job over at the middle school. What is the end game? What is the goal when this whole year ends and we're looking back at the 2020-2021 school year? What would you like to see happen in the next handful of months, you know, for yourself, for the kids, the community, everyone that's playing a part there? What's that look like?
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, we're dying to have the kids back in the building. We're just absolutely dying to have the kids here. And so whatever we need to do, whatever our community needs to do in order to keep the numbers going in the right direction to get the kids back here, that would be great. What we have to do, what's incredibly important to us, that as great a job as our teachers and our entire staff, our counselors, everybody, as great a job as we're doing to try to connect our kids, it's just not the same until you're face-to-face, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what would I like to see happen? I'd like to see us get to the point where we're able to build those connections face to face again. And we've done a couple. There have been a few teachers and teams that have, you know, started some family activities. We had a family movie night here the other night. One of our teams did. Because I think that's part of your culture. That's how you build up your culture in your organization, by doing things that involve the whole family and that give people the ability to see, you know, for kids to see a teacher in a t-shirt and jeans and to see that a teacher's a person just like they are, who has a family of their own, who has things that they care about and mean things to them. So it's all about, and what I want, what brings me joy in life is on the last day of school to see tears. And as crazy and as nuts as that sounds, that's what I want. I want kids crying at the idea that they're leaving this school. And we get it. It happens all the time. And then they leave here, right? They spend 2 years telling us how much they hate us and they can't stand being here. And then sure enough, September of, you know, their ninth grade year when they're in high school, who comes trotting back to come into our building? Oh, my God, my heart bursts when I see that.
It's funny how that works.
Who, you know, who spent years telling us they hated us and they didn't want to be here, and then within a week or two of being in high school, they're coming back telling us how much they miss us.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. I love it. Well, I'll be coming back there in about an hour to run football practice. So that's what's – and hopefully there'll be no tears for us for football. There's no tears in football unless you win a championship. But listen, I can't thank you enough for taking the time and for jumping on the program here and just sharing some of this mindset, some of this experience that you have, because so many nuggets of wisdom there that's just going to uplift other people and just help them navigate through some of this time. So I know your time is valuable, but I appreciate, and the whole Get Up Army appreciates, that you were here. So thank you so much, John Ross, for coming on the
program. Absolutely, absolutely. My privilege. And to lead into your next segment, Eddie Van Halen forever, brother.
Woo!
All over my middle school yearbook is the VH, buddy.
Hey.
If I go back, I'll show you my middle school yearbook myself from when I was in school. I got that VH hand-drawn all over the outside of my yearbook from my days in middle school, too. So that was, I know that was a hard one to take. That guy was a genius, an absolute musical genius, and changed the landscape of music forever. So happy to hear you're going to be paying tribute to him, because he deserves it.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what we can learn, what we can pull, what positives have we or are we able to take from the life of Eddie Van Halen? And in the words of David Lee Roth, everybody's got a little Van Halen inside of them. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen,
thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Ladies and gentlemen, that was my rock star guest, rock star principal, and soon to be new president of the Pennsylvania Principals Association, Jonathan Ross, president of Lionville Middle School. Hey, really quick, going to pay some bills here on 1520 WCHE, and we're going to come back barnstorming and take this show out on a high note, talking about the things that we've learned by watching the life of Eddie Van Halen. This is the Get Up Power Hour. Be right back. Got it bad. You're hot for Hayford. It's 1520 WCHE, the greatest show in the history of shows. We're talking mindset, attitude, positivity, everything you want, everything you need to make it to the next level of life and success. I'm your host, Mark Hayford. Yo, that is the first and only time that we wound up jumping out of a break onto the show, playing anything other than the theme music that's traditionally here in the Get Up Power Hour. Now, the Get Up Power Hour theme music, that's my 19-year-old son, Kane Hayford, who wound up playing that, writing, composing, and playing his own song when he was 14. Recorded it, and that's what we got here that we play all the time. But in lieu of what's happened this week with the death of Eddie Van Halen, I wanted to take a few moments here, and I don't know if it's a tribute or if it's a study, but whatever you feel it is, I hope it's going to serve you. So, listen, we just had our guest on, Jonathan Ross, principal of Lionville Middle School. And what did he say? He said basically his teenage years were littered with the Van Halen, the big VH sign all over, carved in his desk, on his books and everything, and the posters. And one of the greatest party rock bands of all time, period. They came out of California. Fun fact, when they started out, the group wasn't even Van Halen. They were called Mammoth. And they wound up changing the name of the group by the suggestion of David Lee Roth. He actually suggested to Eddie Van Halen that they use his last name, as he's the guitar player and his drummer Alex, his brother Alex is the drummer. And apparently Eddie Van Halen wasn't too down with that initially, but then the idea grew on him and they just became VH, Van Halen. And we lost him this week, and he was 65 years old, died of cancer after an on-and-off battle with it. I mean, these guys had 13 studio albums, two additional albums, which were greatest hits, tons of singles internationally. I mean, broke records for concerts and everything. And you know, anytime we lose a great one, we lose an innovator, we lose an artist, we lose somebody who contributed, somebody that made a difference, you know, there's always sadness. There's always people that are going to remember them for their achievements, their accomplishments, what they did, what they left behind. And I think the easy route, and no doubt the true route, but I don't want to say easy, but obvious route, is what a talent, right? That I mean, the innovation, the genius, the creating a new sound. He wasn't trying to be anyone else. He wasn't competing. He created. And what he left behind, decades of music for fans to enjoy forever. That doesn't change. It's here forever. But I wanted to step back and look a little harder at the life of Eddie Van Halen. And I wanted to just see, you know, is there anything we can learn from it? You know, we're all here for a period of time and then we're not. And what's the point? And, you know, when he was a kid, Eddie Van Halen, the father was a musician. So music was in the family. It was in the blood. And they moved to America. And he was given drums. And his brother Alex was given guitar. So he would play drums. And Alex would play guitar. And it didn't take too long until he convinced his older brother that they were going to switch. He wasn't supposed to be the guitar player. He was supposed to be the drummer. But he did what he wanted. And he wound up going to guitar. And another interesting fact is that Eddie Van Halen didn't did not know how to read music. He was never trained. He just listened and played it by ear. Like, the dude can't read music. And I think later on he was able to somewhat, but he never really studied it. And, you know, during his apex and the beginning of the first Van Halen album, he just played. And what's interesting is, as I look at his life, I see somebody who showed us that you can do things your way. When you want something, I had a fortune cookie last week, and it says, if you want it, take it. That's what the fortune cookie said. And I feel like Eddie Van Halen took it. He did what he wanted to do on his terms. Right? First of all, just even that small little story, just switching to the guitar from drums as a kid, that's first. But second, there's some other interesting things through the lineage of Van Halen. You know, when you're a performer, you have what's called a rider. And a rider is basically a big, fancy contract, all kinds of stuff that's in the rider. And Van Halen had their rider that was like, you know, tons and tons and tons of pages. It's a famous story, actually. And what they would do is, in the middle of their rider, say if it was like 50 pages, it would be page like 32, paragraph 4, sentence 5. They, you know, and here's the reason why they would have such a detailed rider. It's because they were huge in the late 70s, 80s. Going into the 90s. So when we're talking pyrotechnics, when we're talking lighting, when we're talking, you know, stage crew management, it had to be precise. I mean, these guys are playing with flames on stage and all kinds of stuff. David Lee Roth is whipping out swords and doing things. So things needed to be specific. And in that rider, buried in there, in the middle of whatever technical language they were using, it would say what they wanted in their dressing room. And it would be, you know, how many bottles of water, whatever kind of alcohol or whatever they did. And they wanted snacks and they wanted M&Ms. And in the M&Ms, there had to be no brown M&Ms. There could not be brown M&Ms. So you're thinking, okay, they're divas. No, they weren't divas. They were genius. Because when they would get to the arena, the first thing the band would do would go to the locker room and to the dressing room. And when they would walk in, the first thing they would do is look at the bowl of M&Ms. If there were any brown M&Ms, they pull out. They're done. They're not doing that show. Because if you couldn't pay attention to the one detail of the brown M&M, how do we know that the pyrotechnics going off behind the drummer during Hot for Teacher is going to go off at the right place at the right time? Did what they wanted. They just did it and asked for permission. And then, their biggest hit of all time, Jump. Right before we come into the break, Bree says, what Van Halen song do you want to play? I'm like, I don't know. There's so many. But their biggest charted song was Jump. You know Jump. Boop, 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 doo, 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 doo. Right? That one. They do it a lot better. Okay. This song allegedly is the one that broke up the band. Because that album, 1984, released obviously, duh, in 1984, was the first Van Halen album that introduced the keyboard. And David Lee Roth was not feeling the keyboard. Ironically enough, David Lee Roth moved on from the band and a year later released his own songs with keyboard. But at the time, he was very, very much against it. And at this point, Eddie Van Halen was very, very much for it. And David Lee Roth, who initially hated Jump, went back to say, I was wrong, that is a great song. But during the midst of that, there's a quote from Eddie Van Halen. He says, he told David Lee Roth, if I want to play the kazoo, I'll play the kazoo. It's my band. I'll do what I want. And he was right. And Jump went number one for 4 weeks. 4 weeks. That's pretty cool. And yeah, but no. You got to understand when it went number one for 4 weeks. This was one of the greatest years of music in history. Michael Jackson just released Thriller, which breaks a record for the most top 10 hits released off of one album, being 7 top 10 hits at one time, at the time. Bruce Springsteen drops Born in the USA, which ties Michael Jackson's record. Madonna's out with Like a Virgin. Prince is out with Purple Rain. I mean, for every album, concert, tour, single, it was a madhouse. And these guys barnstormed in the spring of 84 with Jump, the biggest. It went number 4 for the year. It was number 1 for an entire month. Insane. Because he did what he wanted to do. So my question to you, Get Up Army, are you doing what you want to do? Are you living the life you want to live? Are you doing the Eddie Van Halen? Are you living a life of circumstances where you're playing on other people's terms? Are you not playing all out? See, we go around once. We're not getting second chances. When it's done, it's done. This ain't dress rehearsal. We're live. And too many people are walking around here playing in, like if they were in a movie role, they're playing the extra when they should be going for the Academy Award. Get up, Army. This is a call to action. We can learn a lot from the life of Eddie Van Halen beyond the fact that he was just an amazing, genius, innovative, groundbreaking guitar player who left us something, who created something. It's so much more. It's a life of design. It's a life of living all out. And I want to encourage you to live all out. Today can be the best day of your life to this point. You just got to make it so. Bruce Lee said, to hell with circumstances, I create my success. Start creating your success. I got your back. I'm cheering you on. And you're not alone. We got the whole Get Up Army. And we are international, baby. So I'm going to tell you this. As we end this program for this week, next week, we are coming back swinging for the fences because that's what we do here on the Get Up program. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys, all your support, and we're just getting hot. We are just getting hot. Mark your calendars. October 22nd will be the one-year anniversary of the Get Up Power Hour, and we're going to party. It's going down. You know it is. I got a piece out of here. You guys go make it awesome. You're in more control than you think. I will catch you next week. In the meantime, keep your head up, keep failing forward, and keep fighting. This is the Get Up Power Hour right here on 1520 WCHE.